Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, for decades, if you wanted to build serious wealth, everyone always said the same thing: get into real estate.
It was the go-to path.
Absolutely. The problem was, for most people, that path was just, it was blocked. You need a huge amount of cash up front, a ton of time, and you had to be willing to be a hands-on manager.
Right? Dreading calls at 2 a.m. about a burst pipe.
Exactly. So that steady rental income, it was basically off limits for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But now, something is fundamentally changing. We're seeing this shift with real estate tokenization, and it's just shattering those old barriers. Instead of needing, you know, $1 million for a property, that building is digitally sliced into these bite-sized pieces, digital tokens.
All right.
And it's not just about owning a piece. It's about splitting the financial benefit away from all that management headache. Okay, let's unpack this. What we really need to get into is how owning a tiny digital sliver of a building actually turns into real passive income in your pocket.
And that's exactly our mission for this deep dive. We're going to walk you through that whole process, how the money is actually generated from the physical property, the tech that makes the distribution automatic, and maybe most importantly, what the real risks are that can change your payout from month to month.
Yeah.
We want to get past just the idea of fractional ownership and really dig into the mechanics of how the cash flow actually works in this new model.
Okay, so let's start with the most basic question. If I'm holding a digital token, not a physical deed, how does the money actually flow? Is this some kind of, you know, new complicated financial thing, or is it basically just a normal rental?
Well, the good news is the foundational economics are identical to what a traditional landlord is dealing with.
Okay.
You still have a physical building, you still have a tenant paying rent, and that building still has costs. You know, property taxes, insurance, maintenance.
Usual stuff.
Exactly. What's left over after you pay for all of that? That's the income to be distributed. The whole system is still tied directly to how that physical building performs in the real world.
So the revolution isn't in the economics, it's in how ownership is represented.
Precisely. In the old world, the deed is everything. That's your proof. In this new structure, that deed is replaced by legally binding digital tokens on a blockchain.
And these tokens are a direct claim on the property.
A direct fractional claim on the property. And just as importantly, a proportional right to the net income it generates.
Mm-hmm.
If the building earns money, you earn money. It's a crystal clear link between the real world asset and your digital share.
So if my tokens equal, say, 0.5% of the property, I get 0.5% of the net profit. That makes sense. But it's the passive part that I think everyone is really interested in. So here's where it gets really interesting. We have to talk about the digital engine running all this. The smart contracts.
The smart contract is. It's the absolute core of the passive experience. Think of it as a set of rules, like a computer program, that lives on the blockchain and can't be changed. It runs itself.
And its job is to get rid of the middlemen.
Yes. It gets rid of the paperwork, the delays, the administrative lag. The sources we looked at show it does three things instantly, as soon as it gets the net income figures.
What are they?
First, it verifies who owns which tokens. Instantly. It knows who you are and how much you own. Second, it calculates the payout for every single person based on their exact share, down to the cent.
And third,
it just releases the funds automatically. No human has to sign off or make a wire transfer. It all happens based on the rules that are coded into the contract. It's not just fast, it's auditable and, you know, trustless.
That idea of trustless is so important here, isn't it? Because in a normal property partnership, you have to trust the manager to do the math right, to be honest about expenses, and to actually send the money on time.
Exactly. Here, you're not trusting a person, you're trusting verified code. But, and this is a crucial piece of context, the smart contract needs a bridge to the real world. The tenant isn't paying rent in crypto to a smart contract.
Right. They're paying a legal entity, I assume.
They are. And that entity is usually something called a special purpose vehicle, or an SPV.
Okay, we have to dig into that. Why is the SPV so important for an investor?
Because the SPV acts as a legal firewall. It's a completely separate company created for one reason and one reason only, to hold the title to that specific property.
So it isolates the asset.
It isolates all the risk, the debt, the liabilities, everything associated with that building is contained inside the SPV. When you buy tokens, you're actually buying an economic interest in that SPV.
And that protects you if the platform that tokenized the asset goes bankrupt or something.
Precisely. The building itself, held by the SPV, is shielded from the platform's corporate risks. It's all about protecting your fractional share.
That makes the whole process feel much more concrete. So the monthly flow is tenant pays the SPV, the SPV pays all the bills, management fees, insurance, whatever, and then the leftover net income is sent to the smart contract, which handles the payout.
That's the dance. A very well-choreographed dance between legal structures and digital automation. And that brings us to the next question. What money is actually flowing into that SPV? It's not always just the rent check.
Right. The sources pointed out two different streams.
They did. The first one is the obvious one. The core rental activity. This is the main engine, you know? Mm-hmm. The leases from tenants in an apartment building or an office. It's predictable, and it's what the valuation is based on.
But then there's the other bucket.
Right. The additional income streams. And this is where you can see some unexpected upside. Things like fees for parking spaces, renting out storage units, maybe even revenue from laundry machines.
Or in a short-term rental, it could be higher rates during a big event or peak season.
Exactly. Understanding both of those streams helps you get a much fuller picture of the actual cash flow potential.
This raises an important question, though. We're talking about cash flow and passive income.
Hmm.
The word that comes to mind for a lot of people is guaranteed. Is this like a bond payment that just shows up every month no matter what?
No. Absolutely not. And managing that expectation is probably the single most important lesson here. Your income from a tokenized property is subject to the exact same real-world volatility as traditional real estate.
That has to be.
It has to be. And you need to really understand the three big factors that the source material details because they will directly impact your payout.
So what's number one?
Number one is occupancy and tenant stability. It's simple. If the property is empty, there's no rent coming in. If a major commercial tenant leaves or an apartment building has a lot of turnover, your distributions are going to drop.
Or even stop for a while.
Or even pause entirely until a new tenant is found. Long, stable leases are an investor's best friend in this game.
And an empty unit isn't just lost income, right? It's still costing you money.
You're exactly right, which leads directly to the second factor. Operating and managing costs. Remember, the SPV pays all the bills before you see a dime. So if there's a surprise, like a roof replacement or a new boiler,
that money has to come from somewhere.
It comes out of the income. That cost is effectively shared by all the token holders through a smaller monthly payout. This is why you also need to look at the SPV's reserve policy, how much cash it keeps on hand for these surprises.
A bigger reserve means less volatility for the investor, even if it means slightly less cash in the short term.
Exactly. And the third factor is the big one you can't control, market and location conditions. Is the local economy booming or busting? Is there high demand for rentals? And then there are things like new rent control laws that could cap your income.
And broader things, too, like inflation driving up the cost of insurance or utilities.
For sure. Those costs can eat into your net profit, even if the rent stays the same.
So you're basically trading the headaches of management for direct exposure to market risk. And that means transparency from the platform is everything. You need to see the occupancy rates, the expense reports, all of it.
If you can't see the maintenance bills, you can't verify the deductions. It's that simple.
Okay, let's pivot to the big comparison. We know how it works now. But why should you, the person listening, actually care about this over just, say, joining a traditional real estate partnership? Let's break down how this really changes the game for the investor.
The side-by-side contrast is really stark. It shows why this is so different for someone who wants to be passive.
All right, let's start with the biggest one, capital required.
Traditional investing. You're talking about a massive down payment, closing costs, getting a mortgage. It's a huge financial hurdle.
A huge check to write.
Hmm.
Whereas with tokenization, you can get started with a relatively small amount. It just lowers the barrier to entry completely.
It totally democratizes it. But then there's the next point, management responsibility. For a token holder, it's basically zero.
It's all handled by professionals. The tenant screening, the repairs, everything. But let me push back on that a bit. Is it really zero risk?
Mm.
You still have to trust the management team the platform picked, right?
That's a very smart point. No, it's not zero. You're swapping operational risk for what you could call platform risk, the risk that their team is no good.
Right.
But, and this brings us to the biggest differentiator of all, you're not locked in, and that's liquidity.
Ah, yes. The ability to get your money out.
Imagine you're in a traditional property LLC. To sell your share, it's slow, it's complicated, you have to find a specific buyer, it could take months. With tokenization, you have the potential to sell your tokens on a secondary market, almost instantly.
Because you're selling a digital asset, not trying to legally transfer a piece of a physical deed.
Exactly. The time and cost to get in or out of your investment just plummets.
And that speed directly impacts your risk and your ability to diversify. For the token holder, the risk exposure is spread out across maybe hundreds of other investors.
Yes. If a property is vacant for 3 months, the traditional landlord bears 100% of that loss. As a token holder, you might only bear, say, 1% of it.
Which, when combined with the low entry cost, is what finally makes true diversification possible.
It's the key that unlocks it. A normal investor might only afford one rental property. A token investor can take that same amount of money and spread it across 10 different properties.
Residential in one city, commercial in another, logistics in a different country even.
You can instantly diversify across property types, geographies, and economic cycles. That really helps smooth out the bumps.
And it's companies like the one mentioned in the source material, Gamma Assets, that provide the whole framework. They handle the SPV setup, the compliance, and they connect everything to the smart contract. They're built to handle the landlord headaches for you.
That's their function in the ecosystem.
So what does this all mean? When you boil it all down, the takeaway here is that tokenization has managed to do something pretty incredible. It separates the thing everyone loves about real estate, the cash flow, from all the things that make it so difficult.
The high capital, the management burden, and the fact that you're stuck when you want to sell.
Exactly. So if you've always wanted to benefit from rental income, but you never ever wanted to fix a toilet or chase down a late rent check, you should now have a really solid idea of how this market is built to work for you passively.
And just as a final thought, we've talked a lot about the digital infrastructure here. The smart contract automates the rent distribution, the expense calculations, all the financial admin. So if these digital systems can do all the complex financial tasks that a third-party property manager used to do, what does that mean for the future of property management fees?
That's a good question.
If the tech is handling the admin so efficiently and transparently, are traditional property managers about to become obsolete? Or do they just become, asset repair coordinators? That's something to think about.